ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
Welcome to the Better Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey and Jerry Goins, where we celebrate the ancient paths of our bear bow ancestors, where hard work and woodsmanship outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who've gone before us and welcome those yet to come. Join us as we share valuable insight about the bear bow hunter's lifestyle. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Barebow Hunters. Before we get going, we're talking with Wade Morris today, but before we get going, I'd like to talk to you guys about somebody that's helped us out with the podcast. And what I mean by helping us out is they gave us some products to pass on to you guys. And hopefully you guys will get to start using some of these things. And it's from Worksharp. If you guys haven't seen me use Worksharp, I have a YouTube video that shows you how to do the single bevel broadheads. Go over, check it out on our YouTube channel, The Life Outdoors. And what I'm going to give away, we have a pocket sharpener that I'm going to give away with this episode. So the way you get that is you go and you go into iTunes or Stitcher and you leave us a review. And if you leave us a 5-star review and then say something about this episode or even prior episodes, then I will pick. I'll do a random number generator and pick somebody to get one of these sharpeners. So guys, go over there, do that, and then stay tuned because Wade's going to talk about turkey hunting, his new bow models, and the Yeti, the Bear Bow Hunter Edition Yeti, and why we built it. All right. Thanks for listening. Here we go with Wade Morris. Welcome to another edition of Bear Bow Hunters Podcast. Today we have with us the infamous... Let me see. I was trying to do this, but I lost. I was gonna give you a 3-stringer, but I just the infamous Wade Morris, the rustic archer himself. Have you ever seen that movie, The Knight's Tale?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. See, I was trying to do that. You know how they introduced the knights before they came out and jousted. That's what I really wanted to do.
The prolonged monologue.
That's good to talk to you again, Wade. One of these days we got to get hunting.
For sure.
I was just talking to David and I was telling him about how cheap the bear tags are here in Oregon, that we should put a bear hunt together.
I'd be down with that for sure.
Yeah, it's like $250 out of state.
That's not bad at all.
For license and tag. So it's nice. Really, really easy. But well, it's good to have you back on here. Just kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about, well, one of the things was that Yeti that you built, the Barebow Edition Yeti. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that, the ideas behind it and kind of our idea behind it. And
sure.
You know, how it was kind of put together as kind of being the working man's bow and a bow that just is beautiful, but yet, you know, just plain. I guess I don't know if that's the right word, but
simple. It's simple.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, but we wanted, by doing that, we thought getting an American made bow by somebody who's actually got their hands on it at that price point, in front of the public, just gives them an opportunity to get, if they want to, you know, start out in bow hunting. That's the biggest thing that we were after, is that they could get something quality. That they don't have to, you know, especially a Chinese bow after all that's gone on with China. We don't need any Chinese bows in anybody's hand.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's a simple bow. I like that 50 style. Again, for those of that know me, I used to work at Saxon Archery, And, you know, those are the bows that I learned to build when I worked with Randy. And so I kind of just wanted to continue that. You know, I like the lines of it. It's a simple bow, nothing overly complex, but the lines on it are, you know, they're smooth. I like to make them rounded. I like the way that they feel and the way that they shoot. And, you know, those bows back in the day, I mean, you can try to change things up all you want, and I still find myself going back to a lot of the styles and a lot of the formulas that they used, you know, back in the 40s and the 50s. They're just a good all-around bow. They're lightweight. Again, we kind of designed it with a nice hardwood handle, just some maple cores, and just a black glass, you know, and that black glass, for being what I would consider plain, because you're not seeing the wood under it, it stands out.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a cool look to it, but it is really pretty simple.
Especially with the red that you put in it too.
Yeah, I like that Padauk accent. You know, I try to change it up a little bit, but it goes with everything so well, not black and red. And then, you know, usually I'm trying to stick with either like a Sedgwick or a Brazilian cherry riser, so it's more of that brown riser. Those colors just, you know, they just work well together, but they kind of pop individually, but they run together really well.
Yeah, it does. I like it, and I hunted with it last year, and I've hunted a lot with it this year. I did go back to the Mongol this year just because I was moving around with arrows and some other things, and the Mongol that you built, the 54-inch?
Yep.
That Mongol, you know, going back into, say, the bear blind or the turkey blind, it just made sense. And
yeah, it's a little bit shorter.
Yeah, a little bit shorter and a little bit more maneuverable in the blind. So,
yep.
You know, and I'm shooting the 60-inch Yeti. But, no, pretty good stuff. I just kind of wanted to bring you on here and kind of introduce the idea behind that. You know, you and I both really want people just to get into bow hunting, to traditional bow hunting. We'd like hunting in general. I mean, you know, yep. And we thought that would be an easy way to do it, or easier way, make it easier. Nothing's easy about buying a new bow, but easier way.
No. And really, just into archery in general, you know, I mean, there are people that, you know, that aren't into the hunting, but they like shooting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, my daughter doesn't hunt a lot, but she'll shoot her bow.
Yeah.
You know, she enjoys going in the woods and walking around, but if it can get someone into the sport, you know, that's what I'm all about. To me, archery is bigger than me or anybody else, you know, and especially kids, you know, women, my wife doesn't, she'll go out a little bit, but she doesn't really hunt a whole lot, but we've gone out together in the past, and you know, anything that I can try to do to help somebody else, maybe get their significant other, their kids out there, you know, that's what I'm all about at this point. In my bow building, you know, I don't do it full time. I've got a full time job, so I'm trying to balance, you know, kids and work.
Steelhead fishing.
yeah, fishing.
Boat building.
You know, I enjoy anything outdoors.
Yeah,
I really do.
You do.
There's nothing more that I enjoy than going out and just shooting my bow. I don't get to do it quite as much as I would like to, but at the same time, you know, anything that I can do to help somebody else pique their interest in it, you know, that's what I enjoy the most at this point.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what drives me with a lot of what I try to do.
Yeah. It shows too. I mean, you know, the bows that you put out that aren't, you know, so the Bear Bow Edition is kind of that's one that they all kind of look the same. If a bow can look the same, but your other bows, they're all pretty much custom the way they come out. And it's the same deal though. You know, you're trying to build something. It's as beautiful of a work of art it is. It's still so functional that, you're just trying to bring that into it. It's fun. You know, one of these days we have to get together and just go shoot a bear or something together, or elk or something. But, speaking of turkeys, you've been hunting them quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I've been able to get out a little bit more than I did last year, obviously, with everything that's going on around the country.
Yeah.
We're stuck at home. I'm essential at work, so I've been working full time.
Right.
But with the kids' sports and stuff, we're usually traveling Montana, Washington, Idaho this time of year, and we haven't been doing that as much with baseball. So I've been able to get out a few more times with the boys. Haven't had as much luck as I would hope for. I'm learning, in my opinion, a turkey is the hardest thing to kill with a trad bow, especially out here where I'm at. We got a lot of public ground, so you really can't set up a blind and leave a blind.
Right.
You know, it's going to end up disappearing. And so I hunt turkeys the same way I hunt elk.
Yep.
I've been way more successful hunting elk than I ever have turkeys. and again, turkey's the one thing I've never killed with a bow.
Uh-huh.
I've cut feathers. I've come pretty close, but, I definitely enjoy chasing them, but I do get frustrated pretty easy with them. They are wily. And actually I was talking to, Patrick Meaton the other day.
Uh-huh.
And, we were discussing the fact that he's hunted birds all over, and he said the turkeys out here, they're so used to predators that just
right.
trying to get drawn on one in the open is almost impossible.
Right.
And I was sitting back thinking about it. I have to agree. I mean, it is so hard to hunt those things in these woods out here when they've got wolves, they've got cougars, they've got coyotes at every corner. And so it's, in my opinion, it's the most challenging thing that I hunt with my trad bow.
Yeah. Yeah. My hardest part is hitting the darn things.
yep. That too.
I go, well, I'm just going to shoot heads. And then you get to where you're at 30 yards and a head's, you know, the size of a baseball or
yep.
even smaller yet. And I've made some really good misses this year so far, but, and then you start picking spots on bodies, well, that's not as easy as it sounds either.
No. Well, you figure their kill zone is not much bigger than a walnut.
Right.
So, it's tough. It's very tough.
Right.
I don't think I've actually launched an arrow at a turkey for a few years. And the last couple of years with the boys, they're more into it. And so I've been, doing more calling
right.
for them.
And so,
as you get older, your priorities change
yep.
a little bit with some of your stuff.
Yep. Those kids are come first. They really
yep.
do. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And if they get them with a shotgun, they get them with a shotgun.
Yep. Jameson, he got one early this year with his grandpa.
Yep.
And then, he's been kind of chomping to get, he's got just a youth compound that, he's been kind of working on. He really wants to get into the trad bow, but he's
yeah.
just not pulling,
right.
pulling quite enough yet.
Right.
And so, but at 12, he's getting close. So
yep.
we'll see how things go.
Yeah. No. Turkey around, it's kind of the same in Oregon. I hunt some really good ground. The stuff that I guide on is really good. And I don't normally hunt that myself. I try to keep that for clients. But even there, those birds are getting harassed with bears and cougars and foxes, a lot of foxes. So they're cagey
yep.
animals, man.
Yep.
The one thing that we do have going for it is we know, I know that piece of ground like the back of my hand, and I know the travel routes. So
yep.
if I hear a bird down here, I know where he's going to head. So
our area used to be really good. It's where I elk hunt, but over the last, probably 10, 15 years, they've done a lot of clear cutting. So they've taken away a lot of the big ponderosas and the roost trees.
Right.
So it's really open. So it's easy pickings for the coyotes.
Gotcha.
It's just not as good as it used to be. We used to be able to hunt them all day long and be into turkeys all day long.
Right.
The problem out here where we're at, I've been busted from 300 yards away by a turkey.
Oh yeah.
Their eyesight is second to none in the woods.
Yeah.
They can't smell. You can fool a couple of the other senses, but on a turkey, Their eyesight is just second
right.
to none.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, all the ones that I've shot with my trad bow, I picked a spot where they were walking away from me before they even were, you know, you sit back into this little depression and then it yep. goes along the trail. And that's about the only way I've really done well with them. Even then, you know, I guide a lot of guys with compounds, and even then, the guys with compounds are having to put a couple arrows in them a lot of times, you know, and just because they're that hard of a bird to really hit, yep. in the right spot, because they're black. It's hard to pick a spot on them.
Yeah, and they're tough birds too.
Yeah,
I mean they're I've one fall elk hunting, I was able to finally shoot a hen. And, I mean, I center punched her right between the wings.
Right.
I mean, I had down feathers 10 inches up my shaft, and she came bobbing out, turkeys everywhere, and she was able to get her feet under and flew across the draw, and I never did find her.
Oh.
That's the only turkey that I've, and I mean, it was a solid hit.
Right.
She was going away from me, and right square between yep. the wings, and just rolled her.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like somebody had hit took a pillowcase and hit it against something, and it just exploded.
Oh, wow.
And I thought I finally had my first one, and nope, I did not.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've even had a shot since then, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, maybe we ought to get you out here and go turkey hunting one of these days.
Hey, I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I guarantee you we could get you a shot. It's just, you know, sometimes it's not the biggest bird or the oldest bird. Now, the oldest birds have really given us a lot of problems this year. Those suckers are getting smart. But,
yeah, I'm fine with shooting the dumbest one I can get. I mean, I don't really
Yeah, the
care.
Young ones taste better anyhow.
Yes, they do.
They're not quite as tough. But
No,
we hunt them. So we hunt them a lot like elk. I'll call them, get them to gobble, or, you know, and a lot of times, like right now, they're just plain not gobbling a whole lot. They gobble off the roost and to the roost. And then, but what I'll do is, you could hear a turkey without them gobbling. You know they're around. So
yep.
we just try to get in front of them just like you would an elk, and then do some soft calling now. You know, we got hens that have chicks now. So
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got hens with chicks that are running around. And so, I mean, it is what it is.
Yep.
I still have a turkey tag that I need to fill. The problem is, during the good time of year, I'm guiding that. So I don't
right,
get to hunt during
little,
the good time.
A little
time.
More difficult, yeah.
Yeah, so, which, it's fun. You get, you know, guiding turkeys, you're actually hunting them. You're just not pulling the trigger.
Yep,
you know?
Sure.
It's kind of like hunting ducks. It's the same thing. You're just not pulling the trigger. You're still hunting, so it's fun.
Yep.
It's a good time, but, yeah. Yep. So, what do you got going, what do you got planned for this fall? Do you got any big plans?
Really nothing out of the norm. I haven't put in for any tags or anything. I hunt elk here in northern Idaho. I'm pretty fortunate because my elk spot is 12 miles from my front door.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, I when season rolls around and I've got time, I hunt the evenings when I can hunt the mornings. You know, I hit the weekends
right.
hard, and I've been
right.
trying to take at least a week off to go. Last year was a tough year. I think it was the hardest year I've had since I've lived in Idaho. I hunted hard, and I saw and heard fewer elk than I've ever seen or heard.
Huh.
Yet here this turkey season, the boys have been out. We went turkey hunting here a couple weeks ago and saw 35 head of elk, you
right.
know, so they're there. I think last year we had a wolf move in and they were just starting to bugle, and then it went dead silent for a week.
Huh.
I mean, no coyotes, no nothing. But so for me, it's just deer and elk as usual. Again, with the kids in sports, and my oldest boy's in college now, so he's not really doing any sports. So we don't have quite as much going. Last year was an exceptional year for us as far as everything that we were doing. But
right.
I'm looking forward to September. I got a new takedown I've been working on that
yeah.
I've been shooting a little bit, and I'm really digging it so far. So I've built a couple of them. I'm still putting mine through the paces, but right now it's doing really, really well. I like it a lot. I've had guys for years ask me, you know, if I did three piece, and I guess maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mind or right spot, and now I'm doing it and going, why didn't I do this years ago?
Right on, right on. Yeah, I've seen a couple of those that you're starting to put out, and it looks like it's going to be something that's pretty cool. I like the limb. I like the profile of the limb. I always have liked it where, and I don't know what you call it, but you get that little hump in between the riser.
Yep.
Those bows have always seemed really fast to me when you find a limb that looks like that.
Yeah, so this design is actually a good friend of mine, John Sherlock. He's a bowyer in Washington. I met him, it's been 7-8 years ago at the Rock Shoot in Moses Lake. And honestly, we just hit it off since. And the limbs are actually his design. I would say that they're a cross between a Bill Stewart and a Keith Chastain. And
gotcha.
I mean, mm-hmm. these things are fast.
Yeah.
I mean, they are lightning fast, but they're really quiet. So, you know, typically if you gain in one thing, you lose in another.
Right.
So a lot of times, you know, the norm would be if you're gaining in speed, you're going to gain a little bit of noise. And the way he's got these limbs, I mean, it's very, very, very quick. I'm really liking the first few that I've done so far.
Right. What effects? So when you look at a limb profile, what affects the how quiet it is? Like the Mongol is a super quiet bow. Is it because of the deflex that's in by the riser? Is that what affects it a lot? Or
I'll be honest, I think it really just varies. It varies on the width of the limb. It varies on the tapers of the limb. It varies on how much, you know, recurve that you've got in it, how much deflex, reflex. You know, I think one bowyer could grab a bow and do the exact same design, but do it his way, and it's going to come out different.
Huh.
On some of my stuff, I'll be honest, I think that I just kind of lucked out. You know, I took what Randy taught me
right.
to the best that I remember and just kind of tweaked a few things here and there. You know, some bowyers, I'll talk to other bowyers and we'll share opinions, thoughts. A lot of us have different opinions and different thoughts on what's going on with
right.
with designs and different things. So I wouldn't say that anything is a specific set standard in my opinion. But, you know, sometimes a guy just lucks out. And I you know, I kind of came up with a taper that I felt like would be good. And maybe I've tweaked it once or twice. And then really, once you get with what you're happy with, that's kind of what I've settled into. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to like my bow. And not everybody's going to like the way it shoots.
Right.
But, you know, you kind of take it and build it to the best of your ability, what you think is best for it, and you just kind of got to go with that. And
right.
honestly, that's some of what I've done is just kind of a couple ideas worked into something, and I trial and error, and after you build a few bows, you can look at a design and kind of know what it's going to do already. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, somebody could hand me a jig and I could look at it, and I'd know if I want to run a 2000s taper in it or if I want to run more tapers. Or,
right.
you know, if I'm only going to taper the last 6 to 8 inches of the limb for the recurve. Or if I want to, you know, taper it from the tip all the way to the riser. I mean, each one is just different and has different effects. Now, that Mongol, there's certain things that I cannot do with that jig that I do with my Yeti. And so... It you know, part of it is just in the design, and part of it is just in what I figure I can do with it. And then I just find that in between, and I just try to pick the best of all the worlds that you can come up with, and then just run with that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool, too, because the Mongol, the 54-inch that I have, it's cool how that bow worked out for me, because, you know, it stacks right at the back end of my, because you cut it down, right?
Yep. And you got a shorter draw.
Right at the back of my draw.
It builds. Yep. It reels right at the back of your draw is where it builds.
Yep.
And I mean, in reality, that's what you want.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
If you've got a 30-inch draw, you want that bow to start stacking at 30.5 inches.
Because yeah.
Because then you're maximizing the limbs out of
yep.
that.
You Every know? Energy that you could, all the energy you could get out of those limbs, you got.
Yep, and that's hard to do that really in a production bow.
Oh yeah,
that's where
right.
calling your bowyer and talking to a bowyer can really help you on getting into that bow that is hopefully going to best suit
yeah.
your draw length and what you're after.
Well, it helps my back tension a lot because you come to a wall. You know, they talk
yep.
about that in compounds, but you do. So it helps that feel the whole way through. That's why I went back to the Mongol. Is because
yep.
I just shoot that one so well. So
see, and I personally like it to be softer, a little bit softer on the back end.
Yeah, yeah.
My current takedown I'm shooting, I made a screw up on my measurement, and it ended up being 58 inches instead of 60 inches like I was after.
Right.
It shoots great, but I can definitely on that when I hit 28 inches, which that's what my draw length is.
Right.
I can really feel it kind of build up. I like it to be not spongy, but I like to be able to feel like I can draw it a little bit farther. So
like the Yeti, you can draw that
yeah.
thing to the moon.
Yep. So, you know, and again, that depends on your riser length, you know, the length of the jig. You know, if somebody's wanting one that, say they're wanting a 60-inch Yeti, but they're wanting it to kind of build up a little bit more, you make the riser a little longer.
Right.
If you want it
right.
a 60-inch, but you want it smoother on the back end, you got to shorten that riser up a little bit, you know, or you got to go to a different length.
Right.
And I've been pretty fortunate over the years. And it's been probably 4 or 5 years ago now, Randy's son Troy gave me all of Saxon's jigs. So all of the jigs that I'm working on, I still have a few of my own,
right.
but a lot of the jigs I'm working with now were the old Saxon jigs that I worked with when I worked at Saxon Archery.
That's
so,
pretty cool.
You know, it is cool. I mean, they're some of these are 30-year-old jigs.
yeah.
They still function. It's a great proven design.
Right.
You know, I tried changing some stuff up on it, and then I got to realizing that, you know what, I basically am an apprentice from Randy. I learned from his shop. There's no reason for me to really change something that already works.
Right.
And so,
right.
you know, I've tweaked a few things in my formulas and done a couple things that he wasn't keen on doing and tried making a little bit of it my own. But I think that I have I hope that I have a Saxon flair with it. And,
that's cool.
You know, Troy's just excited that somebody else is able to use it because he really – you know, he didn't have the space, and he's not really into doing it. And so,
right.
you know, I can't thank him enough. To me, I feel privileged enough to be able to have him give me these and be able to say, you know what, you're carrying on that tradition of what Saxon was.
Yeah,
and,
that's cool.
Yeah, you know, and I had a great time working there, you know. And I learned a lot, and then I've learned a lot since then, too.
Right.
You know,
right.
I struggled a lot on my own.
Yeah, you never
I
seen a Saxon three piece.
Nope. He did two pieces.
Yep.
And I haven't really attempted any of those yet. But I've always been more of a one piece guy. Like
right.
I said, I'm starting these three piece, and now I'm definitely seeing
that's cool.
seeing why guys are wanting them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of guys love those three pieces. I've shot
yep.
my share of them, you know. One that I used to shoot a lot was a little Falcon Cascade Falcon.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still around or not, but it was a 56 inch bow too.
Yep.
No, I take that back. It was 52 inch. It was teeny tiny, but well, thanks a lot, Wade, for coming on here. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Just kind of wanted to come on and get back with you and, you know, kind of see what was going on. And I think it's probably good that we do this every so often.
yeah. You know, I enjoyed it. It's been a while. I know we talk on the phone every now and then.
Right.
So it's good to be on, good to hear you, and it's good to see how, you know, how things are going.
Yeah. Yep. So, All right. Well, I think we're going to get off of here. Thanks for coming on, and I hope you guys get a chance to get back out there and get another turkey.
Yeah, we got a few more days left. I think we'll probably give it a try this weekend.
All right. Well, good luck. Keep me posted on how that goes.
All right, we'll do. Thanks, Nathan.
All right, take care.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of Barebow Hunters Podcast. Hey, if you like what you heard, please give us a rating down below. We like the 5 stars. And follow us also on Instagram under Barebow Hunters. Go to our YouTube account, Barebow Hunter at YouTube, under the Life Outdoors heading. So that's Barebow Hunters YouTube under the Life Outdoors. Also, go and join Barebow Hunter group on Facebook. Thanks again for listening.